live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on the 16th day of October, 2025. I am sorry about my less than spectacular voice today. I am on the tail end of a bad bout with a cold or flu, but thanks be to God, he is slowly and steadily raising me up back to health. But we all heard last month the tragic news of one of the giants of 20th and 21st century Christianity. Voddie Baucham had entered into glory at the age of 56. That is quite a bit younger than myself. And this was quite a shock to most of us, although we knew that Voddie was suffering with heart problems for quite a while. It still came as quite a shock. This occurred on Thursday, September 25th of this year, 2025. And I haven't yet been able to have a program that paid tribute to our precious brother Voddie. And I am so glad that we are able to do so today. And I could think of no better guest to pay tribute to our dearly departed brother Voddie Baucham than Dr. Conrad Mbewe, a pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, author, highly sought-after conference speaker, and founding chancellor of African Christian University. He is joining us today. We are going to begin the program by paying tribute to Voddie, and then we are going to be moving on to a broader topic of how our sovereign Lord is furthering the kingdom of Christ and spreading the gospel of sovereign grace on the African continent. And we will be joined by George Lawson as well, pastor of Baltimore Bible Church in Timonium, Maryland, who's also a board member at the Masters University and is currently in a PhD program at Baptist Bible Seminary. And we are going to all discuss that and give you the announcement of an upcoming Bible conference in February of 2026, where Dr. Conrad Mbewe is speaking at Baltimore Bible Church in Timonium, Maryland. And he's also, not long after that, once again going to be my Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon speaker. That will be on Thursday, March the 5th, 2026, at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is in Perry County, Pennsylvania. But first of all, let me introduce my two guests one at a time. First of all, welcome back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Conrad Mbewe.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you, Chris. Thank you for having me on the program.
Oh, it's always a joy to have you on the program. And why don't you give a brief description of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and then move on to give a brief description of African Christian University.
All right. So Kabwata Baptist Church began, it'll be 40 years next January. And currently we have a membership of about 430.
Wow.
Mostly younger generation that would be below the age of 50. We've got 10 elders, 10 deacons at the moment, generally going well. Church planting is a large part of what we do. Planted between 40 and 50 churches across Zambia and across Africa. Yeah, it's a Reformed Baptist church, one of the first few Reformed Baptist churches in Zambia, planted by the Lusaka Baptist Church, and it's also within the city of Lusaka.
And even though you're in Zambia, Africa, that congregation, no doubt, is one of the largest Reformed Baptist churches in the world.
Well, God's been gracious to us in blessing us that way. Yeah. Then we also have a major project of establishing a university, a liberal arts university called the African Christian University. The project began around about 2010, so this is roughly 15 years, but only about 7 years in which we have had students. We have about 100 students at the moment, learning agriculture, business, education, and theology. And our theological wing is at graduate level. So we've got a Master of Arts in Pastoral Theology. And that's where Vodi Bokam came to join us in 2015 and spent 9 years with us and left December last year, only to graduate to heaven within the first year of his return to the U.S. So that's what I'd say about the two institutions.
Well, if anybody wants more details on these wonderful organizations, first of all, Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, has a website, kabwatabaptistchurch.com. KABWATABaptistChurch.com. And then the African Christian University has two websites. One is ACU-Zambia.com. That's ACU-Zambia.com. And also ACU-USA.com. ACU-USA.com. And we'll be repeating that information later on in the program. And as I also said, we have been joined by my second guest today, George Lawson. And as I mentioned earlier, Pastor George Lawson is the pastor of Baltimore Bible Church in Timonium, Maryland. And he is also a board member at the Masters University and is currently in a PhD program at Baptist Bible Seminary. Pastor George, thanks for being on the program. This is, I know, your first guest appearance on the show on our live edition. I had interviewed you at one of the G3 conferences on site for a pre-recorded interview a number of years ago, but this is your first live interview on Iron Trip and Zion Radio, and it's a joy to have you, brother.
Well, it's a joy to be here, and one small correction on the introduction. I'm actually in my THM at the Masters Seminary right now, but that's on the path towards PhD, if the Lord wills. So just wanted to make that one correction, but very glad to be on here.
Okay. Well, I don't even know where I got that information from, but I got it someplace that looked trustworthy, and I guess you can't always trust what you read.
Yeah, I've been asking the university to update my bio, but this hasn't happened yet. But anyway, just
So I did get that from the Masters University website.
You did. That's a reputable place to get information from. But unfortunately, they haven't updated my bio. But I'm grateful to serve there, and just grateful for what the Lord's doing.
Well, tell us about the Baltimore Bible Church in Timonium, Maryland.
So Baltimore Bible Church was planted back in 2013. It started as a Bible study in 2012 with 15 people in the Bible study, just in a basement. And we covenanted as a church in 2013, in July of 2013. So now we're in our 13th year, going on our 13th year, and the Lord's grown the church since that time. We're right now just about 250 adult members, and I think about 150 kids. So we've got, just many people from all over Baltimore County and city as well. We've got four elders now, four deacons, and just grateful for what the Lord's doing there as he's growing the ministry just on the Word of God. So we're a church that believes in the exposition of God's Word in every service and the sufficiency of God's uh-huh. Word in every ministry, and really no tricks or gimmicks, just trusting in the Word of God to do the work that he does, and God's word performs its work in those who believe. So it's been a blessing to be a part of it.
Amen. And I know that you are having, as I said earlier, you're having Dr. Nbewe speak at the Baltimore Bible Church in February of 2026. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's correct. And just a little bit of a background on how some of this got started. It was back in 2022, I taught at a conference with Paul Washer. I was invited to teach at a conference. And after the conference, Paul and I shared a lunch together and just asked Paul, what are you excited about in missions right now? I know you're involved in missions all over the world. Is there a certain place that's really on your heart that you're excited about? And he turned to me and he says, "Brother, I just got to tell you, I'm so excited about what's going on in Africa right now. And you've got to see the work that the Lord is doing." He told me about Conrad Mbewe. I was familiar with him because of some of the conferences that I've heard Conrad speak at. And he says, "Brother, you just have to see what the Lord's doing. Churches are being planted. Missionaries are being sent out. Young men are being trained for ministry. The Lord is really doing the work there." So in 2023, I joined a team of brothers to go and see the work that the Lord was doing firsthand. We came to the Zambia Reformed Conference. I got to know Conrad a little bit more personally while I was there. Vodi Bakum was also there during that time. Got to share a meal with him and talk to him about the work that the Lord was doing. And after returning from my trip, just in my conversations with Paul Washer, he says, "Brother, what would you think about, a conference that might introduce some of the people here in the States to what the Lord is doing?" And again, the work that the Lord was doing was really extraordinary. And that's not just my words. That's, what others are saying as well, as the church is really being built and ministries are growing and prospering. Schools, as Dr. Conrad has already shared, there's school work that's being done, university work, and just a lot of impact that the church is able to have. So we started talking about the idea of a conference and inviting some of these brothers to come over and share a little bit of what the Lord is doing there, to give us a window into what the Lord is doing. And as I started talking about the conference with others, a lot of men from the Master's Seminary, from the Master's Academy International, Paul Washer himself, as well as Conrad, wanted to join us for this conference. We've got a number of brothers who are also coming from the African continent to be with us. So it's going to be a great time. It's February 28th is the date of the conference. right here in Baltimore, Maryland at Morgan State University. It's going to be a full day conference where we'll hear from Paul Washer, Conrad Mbewe, Nathan Busnitz, who's vice president of the Master's Seminary. We'll also have Carl Hargrove, who is one of the elders at Grace Community Church, Mark Tatlock, who's the president of the Master's Academy International, and a number of missionaries from Africa who will be with us just to share what the Lord is doing and really the impact of the Word of God. And there's kind of two kind of emphases. There's, you know, what can we learn? Because there's definitely things that we want to learn from what these brothers are doing, but also how can we support the work that the Lord is doing? So it's really about the glory of God and celebrating the work that the Lord is doing. So just very excited to have this conference, and we're really hoping that the Lord will use it just to really inspire people, to equip people with the Word of God, and celebrate, you know, the work of the Lord. So,
and for more details on Baltimore Bible Church, go to baltimorebiblechurch.org, baltimorebiblechurch.org. And all of the contact information that you will need is on that website. Well, as you know, Pastor George, we have a tradition on this program. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we ask that guest to give a brief summary of their salvation testimony that would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which that guest was raised and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord rose up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. So we would love to hear your story.
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity. Just grateful for the ways that the Lord opened my eyes to the truth. I grew up in a Oneness Pentecostal church. For wow. those that may not know what that is, it was a church that denied the Trinity. We didn't believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believed in a Unitarian deity. It was all Jesus' name only. It was also a church that's been called Jesus' name or Jesus only church because they only baptize in the name of Jesus. And they believe that baptizing a person and declaring the name Jesus over that person when they're being baptized, that's the moment of salvation, that, you know, somehow the work of God is applied to their life in the waters of baptism. So it's a baptismal regeneration type of understanding of salvation. So it was a salvation by works because baptism is a work. We're submitting ourselves to baptism. Jesus himself spoke about baptism as fulfilling righteousness. So it was a belief in salvation by works, and it was also a belief in a different understanding of God. So I grew up in that church. I grew up in Albany, New York. My father actually pastored a church in Brooklyn, New York for 9 years. So we would drive from Albany to Brooklyn, which is a 3-hour drive one way. We'd leave 6 a.m. in the morning, arrive at church at 9 a.m. He'd stay there all day, and we'd close up the church 9 o'clock at night and then drive back home to Albany. 12 midnight is when we'd get home. And that was my life, you know, on the road. And just seeing the dedication of my dad and thinking that, you know, this was the right way. You know, I just believed that I was saved because I was baptized, you know, in the right name. And the right name was declared over me when I was baptized. But if somebody were to ask me, you know, if you were to die, do you know where you're going? I'd always have that question mark in the back of my mind because I just knew that something was wrong with my life. I was convicted over my sin, and it was during my college years, about my second year into college, I had a trip to Washington, D.C. My uncle was over a building project there, and I came to do some summer work with him. And I was introduced to some people from a Calvary Chapel that introduced me to the salvation by grace. You know, they started trying to figure out where I was theologically. And when I told them that, you know, I'm saved because of my baptism, I've been baptized in the right way, they just started confronting me with the scriptures. And every time I'd argue, they'd show me another passage in scripture. And I eventually realized that I wasn't arguing with them. I was actually arguing with the Bible because the Bible was confronting me about who the true Jesus was, the true way of salvation by grace through faith because of Christ. And I remember one particular conversation because, again, I'm believing that Jesus Christ is just the personal name of the Father, and the Father was, you know, the one who is, you know, personally in Christ, and, you know, and even the death on the cross, you know, believing that it was the Father who was on the cross, who was dying for the sins of the world. It's an ancient heresy called modalism. And I remember the one brother said, you know, so when God is on the cross, you believe that the Father, you know, and Jesus are the same person. I said, yes. He says, when the Father is on the cross, in your view, the Father is on the cross, but then Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said, who is left to pay the sins of the world? Like, who is on the cross at that moment? If the Father's turned away, is it just a body that's paid for the sins of the world? And I remember I couldn't answer the question. I was stumped. And I went home that night, and it's like everything made sense. You know, salvation is only by grace. It's only through Christ. That the salvation is has nothing to do with my baptism. Like, all of a sudden, like, the lights turned on. The Lord really used this conversation to turn the lights on for me. I went home and I confessed my sins, you know, to the Lord. Told the Lord I never really knew who you were. I didn't understand these things. First time I called God Father, because we were taught to only call God by the name of Jesus. It was my first time calling God Father. And the next day, my life was just totally transformed. I wanted to share the gospel with everybody moving, because I knew that my sins were forgiven, that I had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I remember going home that summer, and I had an opportunity to speak at my old church, and they wanted me to speak about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I just learned that, you know, and baptism, you know, for them, everything came through baptism. I just learned that baptism didn't save you. So I was able to speak to my entire congregation and let them know that baptism doesn't save you. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And you can go down a wet devil and, you know, go down a dry devil and come up a wet devil, were my words back then. And just shared the truth, what I knew about the truth. And I remember after that that time, my father confronted me about my new beliefs. Actually told me that if I, you know, continued to believe in the Trinity, he was going to pull me out of college. But I knew that I had been transformed, and I couldn't turn away from the truth. I remember going back to college and, you know, talking to some of the friends that I had before, sharing Christ with them, going back to DC and sharing, you know, kind of my experience. And I remember having an opportunity to talk with my father again. And after I studied a little bit more and could understood my faith a little bit more and how to share it with him, I sat down, had a conversation with my dad, and said, you know, Dad, you know, if you continue to believe what you're believing, you're going to die in your sins. You have a different view of Christ. You have a different view of salvation. What you believe in is not a saving faith. And it was 2 months after that conversation, my dad passed away. But I knew in my heart that I shared, you know, everything that I knew with my father, and trust, you know, his soul in the hands of the Lord. And, you know, pray that the Lord would have used that conversation to, you know, change my dad's heart. But after that, my family has come out of that church, you know, grateful for that. My mom is now a part of our church here in Baltimore. My sister's also, you know, come out of that church, and
praise God.
Just grateful for the ways that the Lord has worked in my life. But that's how the Lord drew me to faith, and grateful for his work, because it's a sovereign grace.
Hallelujah. What a great story. And I'd love to have you back on the program when we have more time to specifically go through a lot more details about the heresy of the Oneness Pentecostal movement. We have addressed that on this show a number of times with different guests, but I would love to hear in more detail your story at some future interview. But we're going to go to our first commercial break, and when we return, we're going to have both of my guests, especially Conrad, since he knew him so closely. We're going to have a tribute to the late Vody Balcom, and then we will move on to the broader topic of the work of our sovereign Lord on the African continent. And if you'd like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. the coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to morning meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model to photorealistic image to wax prototype model to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide for us automatically every single month financial support, but on top of that, they give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener saying, I heard about RoyalDiadem.com from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's all you've got to do if you're purchasing jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com, and we get 100% of the profits from that sale. And with Christmas coming up, what an excellent time to not only purchase a head-turning, breathtaking, gorgeous piece of jewelry for someone you love, but also help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at the same time. So whether you are purchasing jewelry they have in stock, or whether you are purchasing a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry that no one else on the planet Earth will possess. Either way, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. So please go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm now back with my guests, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and also Pastor George Lawson of Baltimore Bible Church in Maryland. And we are going to begin the program by paying tribute to Vodi Balcom. This is the first time I have been able to do this tribute, especially since I have had very few live interviews since my traveling has been quite extensive lately, going to different conferences and things like that. But I am so delighted that we have the opportunity to pay tribute to such a great hero to many of us, Vodi Balcom. And Dr. Conrad Mbewe, you, as you said earlier, invited Vodi to Africa, where he brought his entire family. I believe you said it was 2015. I might be mistaken. But tell us, first of all, how you became initially aware of Vodi Balcom.
Yeah, what had happened was that in the year 2006, Paul Washer was visiting Zambia. He had preached the year before and now wanted to introduce a few American pastors to what he had found in Zambia. So 2006, he came back. And as he was leaving, he says to me, Conrad, I know just the right guy for you to invite to come and preach here. His name is Vodi Balcom. Have you heard of him? And I hadn't. So, but I trusted Paul sufficiently, known him by that time for about 6 years. So I said, please, by all means, go and get this Vodi to see if he can come over and preach. And sure enough, Vodi agreed. And in the year 2007, he came, that particular year, he just came with his son, Trey, come and preach. And then he, kept coming until 2015 when he finally moved here.
And there was a specific reason you invited him to move there. It had something to do with working with the African Christian University, correct?
Well, not quite. You see, what happened was that the very first time Vodi came, as he was going back, he said to me, Conrad, we were passing by a house that was on sale. So he said to me, Conrad, I'd like to buy that house and move here.
Wow.
I thought he was joking. So that was in 2007. Then he came again in 2011. And I remember his statement then was, hey, Conrad, we had agreed that house, I was going to buy it. And this time, by the way, he came with his wife, Bridget. And he said to me, I want Bridget to love this place so that she can agree that we move here. He came again in 2012, 2014, and he kept increasing the number of members of his family he would come with. And again, he would say, Conrad, pray that Bridget will agree to come here. So in 2014, he then said, Bridget has agreed to come and live here. So please pray that she doesn't change her mind. Has to go back to the U.S. A few months later, he calls me from the U.S. and says, Conrad, I have resigned my job here, getting ready to move to Zambia. And then he adds in that phone call that my elders were asking me what I'll be coming to do in Zambia. And then he says, Conrad, you haven't given me a job yet. What will I come to do? So that was quite hilarious, but the man was serious. Well, thankfully, just a few weeks earlier, the dean of our School of Divinity had just resigned to go back to the USA. So that's how we said to him, brother, there's a job waiting, dean of the School of Divinity, and sure enough, August 2015, Vodi arrived with his entire family. Well, no. Seven of the nine children in his train, together with his wife, Bridget.
Praise God.
That's how we came.
And what do you remember most about Vodi, the man, and what do you miss most dearly about him?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's to do with his preaching. One of the reasons why he kept coming back was that the Zambians had loved the preaching of Vodi Boka. And so you can imagine, five times within a period of about 8 years, he kept coming back, and we loved his preaching. He came and basically continued his preaching ministry. He joined Kabota Baptist Church soon after he came, and we gave him at least 10 Sundays a year, which would have been just under a Sunday every month to fill the pulpit and preach. Yeah, so that was lovely. And then Vodi was very clear in terms of the Reformed Baptist position. It was his conviction, but there was also great clarity. So whether you were dealing with covenant theology, or you were dealing with Baptist ecclesiology, or you were dealing with the end things, the end, the last things rather, and so forth, Vodi was very clear. And in any discussion, you could see that he was very, very comfortable in that position. So he was a great asset to Zambia in that sense. The third thing that I would mention is that although Vodi was involved in a lot of battles on the American continent, the things to do with work theology and so on, the homosexual gender, the abortion issues, and so forth. We hardly ever heard that from his lips in Zambia. I think he knew, because he had mingled enough, that those were not the battles that were happening on our side of the Atlantic Ocean. So he was basically a full-on expositor of God's word, pointing us to Christ, constantly pointing us to Christ. And as I was saying at his memorial, all you need to do is to listen to the sermons he preached when he was in Zambia, and you will notice that. But yes, on social media, you could see that he was sustaining a battle on the American side. If I could sort of just add one more element, and it's the fact that in the university, he helped to establish the biblical worldview in the various schools. He made sure that it became part of the very atmosphere of the university. And then because he was the School of Divinity dean, he also ensured on that side that we ended up with the graduate level of studies. Yes, as a man over his home, he was also a great example. He loved his wife. He loved his 7+2 children that were out in the USA. His life revolved around them. He was very involved in their home education, just ensuring that they were grounded in the historic faith of our fathers, even while they were being taught by him, by his wife, and others that were coming to the home. So you couldn't miss it. A man was being a godly husband and a godly father, and so forth. I could say a lot more, but that was our brother in many ways. In the church, he wasn't trying to drive from the back seat. He always made it clear that he had no personal agenda. He wanted to do what we had asked him to do, and that's what he was doing. Somewhere in between, he moved with my eldest son. When my son launched out, we sent him to plant a church in one part of the city. Vodi moved there as well and was just helping to, as it were, disciple this younger pastor as he was getting the church off the ground. Yeah, and also our son who died was getting ready to plant a church nearer Vodi's home. And we only found out afterwards that Vodi was also in discussion with him, wanting to provide his home as the initial place where the church would start from. And so he was a wonderful servant of the Lord to be with in Zambia. We loved him. We loved his wife, Bridget, very, very much. She was an integral part of his life in every way. My family and his integrated exceptionally well in every sense. So, yeah, the Lord's taken him to his reward.
Amen. Yes, I did not know Vodi nearly as much as you did, but I did have the honor and privilege to meet him face-to-face on a number of occasions, having attended a number of the conferences where he spoke. I had the privilege of one interview with him that was conducted on site at a G3 conference when he happened to be providentially wandering by my exhibitor's booth, and I called over to him, and he graciously accepted my invitation to sit down and be interviewed. And I am honored to know that every time that I saw him after that at different conferences, he immediately recognized me, gave me a big bear hug, and thankfully my spine was not broken by those hugs. And he was just a pleasure to meet, a man of not only his physical stature, a high-ranking jiu-jitsu expert, and I believe, did he not open up the first Brazilian jiu-jitsu school in Zambia? I heard that. Is that true?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And he, in spite of not only that, his impressive physical strength and presence in that regard, and also his being globally renowned as a powerful preacher, teacher, and author, he, every time that I saw him, had a very palpable essence of deep humility emanating from him. I never recognized a conceited swagger or a boastfulness or arrogance that some folks less sanctified, even if they were Christian, might possess if they had his fame and his physical abilities and so on. But he just seemed to carry himself as a humble servant of Christ. And the church is certainly at a loss without him. And we look forward to being reunited with him in glory one day. And when we come back from our midway break, I'd like George Lawson to chime in with any words of his own about how Vodi and his ministry may have impacted him and his life. I'm sure Pastor George joins me in our sadness over how many of the black evangelical pastors in our nation were disappointed with Vodi because, sadly, the woke movement had captured the attention and approval of many men who even agree with the three men on this program today theologically, but who somehow got drawn in, sucked in to embrace the woke movement, the social justice warrior movement. And Vodi was always crystal clear that he radically and sternly opposed those ideologies because of his commitment to the scriptures. And perhaps George will have something to say about that as well, being a black pastor in Baltimore, Maryland. But we'll have him chime in after we return from our midway break. And once again, if you have any questions of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron radio. Go to nasbible.com
That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Welcome back. Before I return to my conversation with Dr. Conrad Abewe and Pastor George Lawson, I have some important reminders for you. Folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check from your post office to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice, like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote. Whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations, especially since we have just recently lost two of our largest advertisers, one of which is our beloved friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who closed their doors permanently, much to the sadness of many in the Christian community who loved to read Christian literature and loved the affordable prices that they charged at cvbbs.com. Well, they are a thing of the past, sadly, and no longer able to financially support this program. And we have lost another large advertiser as well. So please help us replenish that lost income. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and then click to donate now, or send us an email if you'd like to advertise to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Now, after I said all that, and as urgently as we need your financial support, I never want anybody in my audience to give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Trip and Zion Radio financially. In other words, never cut into the finances that you have specifically set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. Never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us financially. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, Well, if you love the show and don't want us to go off the air, please consider sharing some of that money with us by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, or like Baltimore Bible Church in Maryland, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I have helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a few minutes from where they live. That may be you too if you are not a member of a biblically faithful church home. No matter where you live in the world, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Dr. Conrad Mbewe and Pastor George Lawson. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And a doctor, or should I say Pastor George Lawson, if you could let us know how you came to meet the late Vody Balcom and what he and his ministry have come to mean to you.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to share. I first learned about Vody Balcom during my years in seminary, during my time at the Master Seminary. So that was between the years of 2006 and 2010, when I first started hearing the name Vody Balcom and some of the preaching of Vody as well. I first heard him preach in person at a Shepherd's Conference back in 2012, and really came to appreciate not only his preaching, but also his defense of the faith in the public square, his willingness to stand up for the truth, even under fire. And there were a number of interviews that Vody Balcom had where it was obvious that the interviewers had no idea who they had on their hands, because Vody would refuse to back down when it came to the truth of scriptures, whether that had to do with gender roles or biblical sexuality. And then back in 2020, in the middle of all the controversy around Black Lives Matter and critical race theory, Vody was really a faithful and a biblical voice for the truth, in the midst of a fog of confusion. And so just very thankful for just his clarity around those issues, just very helpful. And then back in the summer of 2023, I had my first personal meeting with Vody, as I shared during my trip to Africa, where I and a number of men were invited to share a meal with him in his home. He was hospitable. He was gracious. He was transparent. He was committed to his family, and behind the scenes, he was just a lot of fun, just a lot of fun around the table and afterwards. And since then, since that time, we've communicated back and forth, you know, a number of times. And just 2 weeks before he passed, I had a personal Zoom call with Vody, and he was actually trying to work out a schedule to join us for the Roots and Reformation conference that we're having in February. So, you know, 2 weeks before he passed, we were on the phone, and then 2 weeks later, you know, he was home in glory. And just grateful for his life, for his ministry, for his clarity, for his boldness, for the truth. And it seemed just at the time when his voice needed to be heard the most, and when it started to be heard the most, was also the time that the Lord took him home. But just grateful for the truth that he stood on. And as the Apostle Paul is, you know, he spoke with the Ephesian elders, you know, he said, I commend you to the word of God's grace that's able to build you up. So, you know, we have the truth of the word, and, you know, we know that the Lord is still on his throne, and now Vody is before the throne of God. So, just grateful for, just the lion in the pulpit that he was, and just the tender heart that he had behind the scenes. And, definitely, we'll miss the brother. And, yeah, so just grateful for the opportunity to get to know him personally, and that we still have so many of his sermons, you know, that we can go back and listen to, his books that we can, you know, sit down and read. And, you know, he accomplished more in his 56 years of life than many who have a lot longer than that. So just grateful for the ways that the Lord has used them for the sake of the kingdom.
Amen. And we do have a listener, Carmine in the Bronx, New York, has a question for Dr. Conrad Mbewe. He says, Dr. Conrad, I was wondering if you could give us any more information on how Vodi passed. All I was able to read on the internet was that it was the result of a medical incident. Is there anything more that you can say?
Very little. I mean, he had expressed a sense of tiredness to his wife. It was due to have his review at the end of the year.
Medical review?
At the same, a medical review. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So, and on that particular day, they were relaxed watching television when, yeah, he suddenly began to lose consciousness, was fighting to, I suppose, get his breath back. And, yeah, they tried to use CPR to keep him going, called 911. They rushed there, but in the midst of all that, yeah, he became unconscious. They tried to revive him. Nothing. Rushed him to the hospital, and he was, yeah, pronounced dead. So they were taken by surprise. It was late afternoon, going into early evening when that happened.
Yes, quite a tragedy, but only a tragedy for those who remain on earth who knew and loved him. He is obviously not having any regrets where he is now in the very presence of his Lord and Savior, who he served faithfully for so long. And obviously, we would love to have been the beneficiaries of him serving a lot longer here on earth. He was such a young man, comparatively, at 56. That is, I guess it's 7 years younger than me. But we shall miss him and his teachings that are thankfully available in print and on YouTube and in Sermon Audio and other venues will bless the body of Christ for many years to come. Well, we will now shift gears to enter into our discussion on how the Lord is continuing to powerfully use Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, to spread the gospel of God's sovereign grace on the African continent and beyond the African continent. By the way, I'm going to do a bit of bragging here, Pastor George. I hope you don't get too jealous, but I happen to be privileged with a historical fact regarding our brother, Dr. Conrad Mbewe. The church where I was saved on Long Island, New York, which was originally called Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, but then after a merger in 1995 became Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York. That was the very church where Conrad Mbewe preached in the United States for the very first time. And I had the honor and privilege of being present for that conference. It was a 3-day conference. I can remember I worked for WMCA Radio at the time, and I created a commercial using a very powerful clip of Conrad's preaching and inviting people to the conference. Our phones at the church were ringing off the hook prior to that 3-day conference, and we had, over the 3 days, not including our own members, we had over 500 visitors over those 3 days. And amazingly, many, if not most, of those visitors were Pentecostals. And I can remember I can remember getting calls myself. I had an office in the church building because I was working with WMCA Radio, and they the station paid for my office rent in free advertising. But I can remember over and over and over again hearing from listeners who were calling to find out more about the conference, who were primarily Pentecostal. They would say over and over again, "I must hear that man. He has the anointing. He has the anointing." And I agree with them on that 100%. So tell us, Conrad, why don't you give us a breakdown on the progression of the extent of how the Lord has been spreading the doctrines of sovereign grace and used Cabota Baptist Church to plant many other churches of the same theological perspective, Reformed Baptist. Tell us about how this has progressed to the point that we are now witnessing in 2025.
Yeah, well, you know, so it was very difficult to give a historical narrative when you're part of it.
right.
Yeah, so, but let me try. I think in the late 1970s, going into the early 1980s, we had a pastor at Lusaka Baptist Church. His name was Joseph Mfokwe. He inherited a series of messages in the Book of Romans. He took over the pastorate when they were just entering into Romans chapter 5, and he basically finished off the Book of Romans over the years. He was the first Zambian pastor there, and had trained in the UK at Spurgeon's College. And his ministry really impacted many of us. We were university students then. We were hazy in understanding of salvation. But anybody going through Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, without a firm grasp of salvation in terms of the five solas, is probably not converted at all, because that's the rich vein of the sovereign grace in salvation. So many of us came to embrace the doctrines of grace then, and we were also pointed to Burn of Truth books. So we bought them, we devoured them, not knowing what God was going to do with our lives. We finished university studies, went to work in various parts of Zambia, and we just couldn't fit into the churches that we were finding there. So that's how we wrote back to Lusaka Baptist Church as individuals, not knowing that most of us were doing it. And the pastor, then Joseph Mfokwe, just advised us to just start churches, and that Lusaka Baptist Church would support. So those would have been the first few Reformed Baptist churches, I would say, in the second half of the 1980s. At that time, it was largely around the doctrines of grace. However, in 1989, the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith clocked 300 years. And a preacher from the United Kingdom by the name of Ashiel Blaise.
Oh, yeah.
A very close friend to Al Martin.
Yes.
In the USA. He came with a lot of copies of the 1689 London Confession of Faith. And we were seeing it for the first time, read those copies, and said to ourselves, this is it. This is representing our position. And so at least three of our churches proceeded to adopt the Confession of Faith by 1990-1991. And those would have been the first churches with a full of Reformed Baptist position. And a number of others that had come out of that initial Lusaka Baptist Church diaspora, as it were, within Zambia. A number of them also began to adopt the Confession of Faith. So we began a conference, the same one that our brother George attended, and we began it in 1990. So right now it's been running for about 36 years. And it became the rallying point for the young churches. But in due season, word spread into other African countries. So we began to have a number of them coming over to attend the conference. Initially, we specifically wanted international preachers, because we were all quite young. We were like between the age of 25 and 35. And we just needed to add age to our claim that this was nothing new. So we got quite a number of preachers from England, Scotland, from the USA, and so forth, that were coming to add that extra weight to what was happening. Then a number of our churches, Kabwata Baptist Church included, took on a deliberate effort to start planting churches across Zambia, and then from there across the continent of Africa. One aspect that helped us was the pastoral internship program, where a number of guys come in from across Zambia and across Africa to spend a year in our churches in Lusaka. And then as we bond, these would be sent out to go and plant churches in the capital cities of their nations. And out of that, we've seen churches planted in Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Rwanda, Burundi, Nigeria, all the way to Sierra Leone, and then other parts of Africa have also just embraced the light that they have come to know of in Zambia. And although we did not directly plant churches there, there are churches that have since been established in countries like Kenya, countries like Uganda, and of course South Africa has been a major boost. Other churches have been planted in Nigeria, Tanzania, and so forth. And then and other independent movements have begun. I know there's Fali in Madagascar, who's also doing an incredible work there. Charles Woodrow, who's a missionary in Mozambique. There's a great work that's happening there. And we've begun to hear of other small but growing movements in places like Ghana, the Gambia, and so forth. So it's just and a movement of God that's spreading like wildfire across the continent of Africa, for which we're grateful, because it's giving the charismatic movement a run for their money, so to speak. Previously, there wasn't a movement that was really challenging it. But now, from what God is doing, there's a biblical movement, one that is around the exposition of Scripture, consecutive expository ministry, churches that are built solidly on a biblical view of the church, and so forth. So, a number of training facilities that began in different parts of Africa, South Africa, Zambia, of course, with the African Christian University. Our friends in Kenya have two colleges that are running that are squarely on a reformed path. Uganda, I've heard of one. I'm yet to relate to directly, and so forth. So there are quite a number that are beginning to deliberately train pastors. Then Nine Marks is also having its own influence on the continent through a number of other pastors for which we're grateful. So we can't claim total ownership of it, of the reform movement. In Zambia, there's also we normally refer to them as faith Baptist churches, but it's related to a missionary called Phil Hunt. They've put up a seminary as well there that's also moving in that direction. I know in December they'll be having Tim Charles, they'll be having H.B. Charles there, and a few other guys. So, the reform movement is generally spreading across Africa from a number of different angles.
Now, I'd like to have George Lawson ask a question in a moment, but I just wanted to have you clarify something. I know that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio does have some charismatic and Pentecostal and non-cessationist listeners. We always have since we launched in 2005. And they may think that it was unnecessary of you to bring up the fact that there was an unchallenged message from the charismatic movement until the growth of the Reformed Baptist movement there in Africa. But as you have said, while preaching here in the United States, that the charismatic movement here in America is like kindergarten compared to what has been going on in Africa, where you'll even have evangelical pastors or professedly evangelical pastors that bear very little difference between the local witch doctor and their own role as a pastor of a professedly evangelical Christian church. If you could just mention that briefly, and then we'll have Pastor George chime in.
Yeah. Well, I think it's simply the fact that they need to visit Africa and see for themselves what we are up against. Whereas, yes, we had the traditional sort of Pentecostal Assemblies of God kind of Pentecostal movement where we could disagree doctrinally on the cessation or continuation of the extraordinary gifts. But beyond that, we were able to sit in same conferences, preach together, minister to students in colleges and universities and so on, knowing that it is more or less the way we've differed with Peter Baptist, for instance, on the issues of baptism. However, what has evolved out of that is something that even the old-time guys are very concerned about, because it's basically a kind of deliverance movement, but within the wider charismatic position that is the equivalent of the village witch doctor, basically. It thrives on claiming all kinds of miracles in terms of, giving you fat bank accounts, giving you a husband, enabling you to have children, and so on and so forth. Anything that you want, which the witch doctor in the village does, a job, if you're trying to get a job, and so forth, getting back your lover who's abandoned you. I mean, literally anything. And it's that which became a hurricane that was destroying so much of the real Christianity as we know it from the Bible. Thanks for asking for that clarification.
Just before we move on, I think it would be helpful for you to share just some of the stories that you've heard out of that movement. And I know we shared a little bit about even the ways that some of these pastors are taking advantage of their sheep. There was even one that literally had members of the church go out to eat the grass on the front of the lawn.
Wow.
Of the church, literal grass, in order to receive some kind of blessing from the Lord. But it's really bizarre, you know, the kind of authority that some of these pastors are claiming for themselves in opposition to the word of God. But do you want to share a little bit about that?
So my church should stop doing church discipline by making me eat grass. Just kidding.
Yeah, it's a bizarre story, but unfortunately, the kind of thing that happens when people, you know, remove the authority from the scripture and place it on the, you know, supposed man of God behind the pulpit. But you want to share about that kind?
Yeah. There's been stories like that have been, really ridiculous. I mean, the story that you just mentioned is again a preacher in South Africa in that category who, told his congregation to go out and eat grass. And sure enough, they did. And many of them fell terribly ill.
Wow.
That they had to bring in medical people and take them into hospital and so on. We've also had a number of hundreds of deaths in Kenya, where the government just had to move in and go and start digging up shallow graves. That's been very recent as well. The specific pastor is undergoing trial at the moment. Again, it's many individuals. A number of African governments are trying to step in now because their citizens have been financially defrauded. From their little earnings that they have, it's all been swept away. Again, claiming that they should be planting seed for them to get their miracle. A number of women have been sexually abused. One particular case in Zambia, the guy impregnated 10 women in his congregation. 10. And all this is not news in a little corner. It's what's on headline news in newspapers. It's in the law courts and so on. So yeah, it's terrible. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, and we have to go to our final break. And if you'd like to join the conversation, we do have a few people who have also sent in questions waiting to be asked and answered. You could join them, and if we have time to read your question, that will be of benefit to our audience. Please submit that question immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the larger catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms, We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
And I want to remind you that this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my decades-long friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we are now back with Dr. Conrad Mbewe and Pastor George Lawson. And we do have a listener from Canada. We have a listener, Timothy in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, who says, Dr. Mbewe, is there anything that you could explain about the spiritual soil of Africa that made it ripe to receive the doctrines of sovereign grace in such a profound way, unlike the battles that we seem to see here in the United States with many people resisting this teaching?
Yeah, well, in a nutshell, first of all, it's clearly the work of the Spirit. The Spirit blows whatever he wills. He is sovereign and sends revival to different parts of the world in his own time, often at the back of a praying people. There's been really an act of God. But number two, it's the fact that many of us are first-generation Christians. What tends to happen in places like the U.S. is that the Reformed faith, and Christianity generally, has been around for hundreds of years. And so people have developed a resistance towards that which God is doing. And it's largely been like taking things for granted, what we call the sin of the third, fourth, and fifth generation. They end up with a Christianity that's really like a social environment rather than a robust faith. Whereas what's been happening in our part of the world is, a younger generation that has come to embrace the evangelical faith for the first time, and though their families would have been church going, but it's really a dead kind of liberal environment. And now that they've embraced this, thankfully, quite a number stumbled across the Reformed faith, the doctrines of grace, for the first time. So that's been part of the excitement. Then there's been the internet that has exposed them to the ministries of people like John MacArthur, John Piper, Paul Washer, and so on. And they've just fallen in love with what they've come across. So that has built upon the books that challenged many of us in the 1980s, 1990s, and so on. So young people on their cell phones, their smartphones are just downloading messages, listening to them across the continent. So I think that's the way that I'd explain it. But remember, we began with a sovereign work of God by His Spirit.
We have Roberto in Anaconda, Montana. And Roberto asks, have you seen many Pentecostals, especially those who were pastors, come to embrace the doctrines of Reformed theology?
Yes. Resounding, wow. Yes. Yeah, right across the continent.
Wow, praise God.
Yeah. I can give name after name in different countries. That's definitely happening. As I said, many of them, it begins with one or two messages that shocks them. Then they begin to use the internet more, to read further, to listen more. And a point comes when they just can't continue in that context, and they move on to start other churches.
Now, are most of these formerly Pentecostal pastors who come to embrace sovereign grace, are most of them becoming cessationists, or do they retain their Pentecostal distinctives?
I would say most of them become cessationists, but yeah, they're a number that I would use the word are trying to remain sort of middle of the road. So they're not pushing the continuationist position, but they're sort of just saying, well, look, you know, in this area, we are open. I think that's the position that they tend to take. But on the doctrines of grace and the general principles of the Reformed faith, they've definitely crossed over.
Okay, Pastor George, do you have any questions for Dr. Cameron?
I've got plenty of questions for Dr. Conrad, but I would just chime in really quick and say that this is exactly why we're having this this conference in February, the Roots and Reformation conference. And again, you can go to rootsandreformation.org, because the work that the Lord has been doing in Africa is really, really remarkable. Across the continent, our brother Conrad mentioned our brother Fali Ravwangi in Madagascar, and just the training of pastors that he's doing there. There's another brother, master seminary graduate in Ethiopia, Abra Abdullah, and he's actually in charge now of the largest Baptist denomination that's there in Ethiopia, responsible for the training of 10,000 pastors, and really across the denomination. I mean, that's in the millions of people who are impacted by those churches. So the reform movement, it's not just in Zambia, but it's kind of spreading throughout the continent. The Lord is doing a remarkable work as people are discovering the doctrines of grace, as people are understanding the impact of expository preaching, you know, called back to the scriptures. And that's, you know, what I saw, you know, while I was there. It's what, you know, Paul Washer saw, and it's also what Bodie Bauckham, you know, saw as well, and really drew him to that part of the world. But I did have one question. I think this would be interesting for your listeners to hear this, but Dr. Conrad, can you share with Chris and the listeners the beginnings of ACU and the connection with MacArthur and Piper? Because I don't think a lot of people know this story.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. So, you know, at the time we're beginning our university, the private universities, not even private Christian, but private universities, were a new phenomenon in Zambia. So the Zambian government had come up with a watchdog, a legal framework that would then license and accredit universities, private universities. And one of the conditions they gave was that we needed to have two accredited universities anywhere in the world that would endorse this new project of a university in Zambia. So I was the founding chancellor, so I began to speak to a number of seminaries and Christian universities in the U.S. And they were warm. But the moment I then said, okay, so we need a letter from you that says you are willing to stake your reputation on this, I hardly got any until two individuals, both of them by the name of John Piper and John MacArthur. I specifically recall John MacArthur being in his office introducing the subject, and I was shocked. I was expecting the usual resistance, but no, he was extremely warm. He called Mark Tatlock into his office, told him to get that letter ready and everything, and wow, I couldn't go on. I know time is running out. But just to say that these two men were willing to stake their reputation in order to support our project, for which I'm most grateful.
Hallelujah. Well, we are out of time. Brother Conrad Mbewe, forgive me for calling you Cameron before. I just had it pop into my head, a dear friend of mine who has been in heaven for well over a decade now, I believe, Robert J. Cameron, who was an Orthodox Presbyterian Church pastor in New Jersey. But Brother Conrad, I just want to thank you for tolerating me and keeping our friendship intact and even strengthening over the nearly three decades that we have known each other.
Yep.
And it's absolutely amazing.
Three decades next year.
It's amazing that it's been nearly 30 years since you first preached that sermon on American soil at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. I want to remind our listeners that the website for African Christian University is acu-zambia.com and also acu-usa.com. And let's not forget about the Kabwata Baptist Church website for that church in Lusaka, Zambia, KabwataBaptistChurch.com, KabwataBaptistChurch.com, and that's spelled K-A-B-W-A-T-A, BaptistChurch.com. And then please do not forget about the event featuring Dr. Mbewe and also Paul Washer on Saturday, February 28th at the Baltimore Bible Church in Timonium, Maryland. That website is BaltimoreBibleChurch.org, BaltimoreBibleChurch.org. And last but not least, all men in ministry leadership, please mark on your calendars that my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, which will feature Dr. Conrad Mbewe for the second time, is going to be held Thursday, March 5th, 2026. At Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. And not only is admission free and your lunch free, but every man attending gets a heavy sack of free, brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers across the United States and the United Kingdom. And if you'd like to register for that, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. You can also find out more details about the luncheon at Iron Sharpens Iron radio.com. Both of you men, Dr. Conrad Mbewe and Pastor George Lawson, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to be with me on I Am Trippin' Zion Radio. And if you could just hold on for a moment so I can give you a more proper goodbye off the air. But I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.